Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We have, for months, been going through this wonderful epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews. Paul is writing to a people who are going through some terrible times, have heard the message of the gospel, the deliverance by God through Jesus Christ, and grabbed hold of it by faith, and their world was being turned upside down. And Paul writes this letter to these people that they might continue in the faith, that is, the confidence in the Word of God, that they might endure in spite of circumstance. We have looked at some of these heroes, certainly not all, mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. This chapter concludes this way. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. That is, totally, completely perfect. The manifestation of the promise that we have of God in Christ, that we are to be made like Him. This morning, I want to attempt to address this proposition time versus eternity. We read in this 11th chapter of men and women who had great testimonies of what was accomplished by faith. We read that others were stoned, sawn asunder, slain with the sword, wandered in deserts and mountains. This takes in the whole panoply, if you will, of God's people. Some in our physical state had it a little better than others, but the common theme of all that are testified to in this 11th chapter is, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. When I was going through these verses and looking at the Greek, this translation in the King James, having obtained a good report, looked a little strange to me, because the root word being translated, good report here, is martis, from which we get our English word martyr. I went to one of my helps, Kittle, the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, and they offer this, the good report. In the absolute, martyrian means to give or receive a good report. The thought is always that the person or persons can be vouched for on the basis of direct observation. And what is being observed by God is the exercise of faith, that is the continuing grabbing hold of the promises of God in spite of circumstance. Now, I said time versus eternity. God had promised deliverance for his people. He had promised a physical deliverance for his people. God, over 8,000 times, made promises throughout his whole word to his people. Some of these promises were manifest. Some of these promises are manifest in our life. But it says, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Earlier in this chapter, in the second verse of Hebrews 11, it says, for it, the elders obtained a good report. Same word, same root word, martyr, can be vouched for. In the 13th verse of this same chapter, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded, another faith word, of them, embraced them, grabbed hold of them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, Don, are you trying to say that we who are walking by faith, that is, confidently that what God has said he will do, are never going to experience the fulfillment of any of the promises of God in this life? I'm not saying that. God's word doesn't say that. The testimony of this chapter is, you know, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. But this is not the ultimate promise, the ultimate plan of God for us. Paul says in the Philippian letter, I've learned to abound and I've learned to abase, and in whatsoever state I am, not King James the translators add that word therewith. It's not in the original. We're not to be, it says, in whatsoever state I am to be content. We're not bound to be content with a particular state, whether it's abounding or abasing. But whatsoever state I am, Paul says, to be content. That is, having a mind, having a new mind, that is a gift from God, often translated repentance in the New Testament, a new mind from God, that he's in control, and there is more to life than what we see in this life. Why am I staying on this subject? Because In many of the churches today, Christianity is defined by how good life is here. And not pointing and concentrating on the eternal purposes of God, which He purposed in Christ, and to those who have this witness, who have this good report through faith, God sees us. And will make us complete in Jesus Christ. Many want to point and say, look at my testimony. Look what God has done for me. None of us, none of these people in this 11th chapter, experienced the ultimate purpose, the ultimate completion that God has purposed for us in Christ. And it will be achieved as we continue in faith. Says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. I want you to turn your Bibles, in your Bibles, to the second chapter of Philippians. Where Paul tells us let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think it took anything away from God. To be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he, that is Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As Christ, who was equal with God and humbled himself and kinned himself with us, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, I would have us look at the reality as the world sees it at this event. Jesus Christ died on the cross, a failure in the eyes of men. Excuse me, my pages are not being cooperative this morning. It says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promises. But that's not the end of the story. Because as he faced this cross, as he faced this which he had promised to God from before the foundation of the world, and as God had promised to him, what God would do if Jesus did this, that is, face this cross and pay with a life worth more than the whole world put together to redeem God's chosen people. The story goes on. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, Paul goes on to say, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, listened, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here is a statement that we can hang our lives on, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The testimony of the New Testament is Christ died on the cross, but was raised again by the Father and given him a name which is above every name. We go back to the first chapter of Hebrews, the fourth verse, speaking of Jesus Christ being made so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we have, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it says in the 15th verse, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit that is God's spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, who by inheritance obtained a more excellent name." Trying to exhort all of you, I would exhort all God's chosen, all His church, to keep an eye on eternal things. We cannot define eternal things by all that goes on here in this life, though there be many in what is so called the church which would define eternal things by things that happen here. That's a great mistake of the church. God has eternity in mind for us. And so Paul goes on and he says in the opening of the 12th chapter, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that is, those who have gone before, of whom God says the world was not worthy of them. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight condition that somehow suggests we're not in God's will because of some condition. And the sin which does so easily beset us, some manifestation of the flesh." Paul doesn't waste time naming this particular activity or that particular activity as sin. He just gets right to the heart of it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the testimony of the Christian is God's work in and through Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all our sins. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run," better translation, "with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. King James says, our faith, the word our is in italics. That means it was added by the translators. That's not what the original says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God has eternity in view for you and I. Suppose you that those spoken of in the 37th and 38th verses of chapter 11 looked at their circumstance and said, oh, God's forsaken me. I got no hope in God. Look at my surroundings. No, they didn't. In spite of their surroundings, in spite of their conditions, they obtained a good report, grabbing hold of the promises of God. And let us do the same. This chapter will go on in the 16th verse of the 12th chapter. It says, let's look at the 15th verse. It says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, that is, fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, God, why'd you let this happen to me? What kind of a God are you that would cause me to be stoned or wandered in sheepskins or goatskins? Look at my apparel. Why, as a son or daughter of God, am I dressed this way? Or any other earthly circumstance that might suggest we are other than sons and daughters of God and heirs and joint heirs of God in Christ Jesus. No, any root of bitterness of heart springing up trouble you. And many, and thereby many be defiled. I said it earlier, we're not to judge eternity by circumstance here in this life, whether it be in abounding or in abasing. We're to live by faith, that is, grabbing hold of the promises and continuing with the mindset, God is faithful. He will do. He does do what he said. It goes on to say, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He did not discern the nature of spiritual things. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Paul says, that warfare is engaged when the new man after the image of Christ is given to us by faith, and the Spirit, that the flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit warreth against the flesh. In that fifth chapter of Galatians, it says, contextually of the, in the context of the whole book of God, walk in the Spirit, and the flesh will not have the last word. For God in his great grace for us has promised that in the eternities we shall be made complete. That is, now a complete manifestation of God's purposes, wherein he chose us in Christ, and it will manifest his power unto all the ages to come. That as it says in the 29th chapter of the 8th, or 29th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, for whom he, that is God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also righteousified. And whom he righteousified, them he also glorified. We need to continue to run this race with endurance, that is, continually grabbing hold of God's promises. which is faith. For by it we shall, we do, we will obtain a good report, a God report. That's the God School for today.